I'd like for us to turn to a very familiar story in the scripture, and I'd like for us to turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and we'd like to begin with verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth and Azekah, and Ephes Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head's weight 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So I want us to notice in particular this fourth verse. It says, And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. I want to talk to us today about a champion. If you were to define the word champion, how would you define it? I'll read you something I got from the dictionary. A man who undertakes a combat in the place or cause of another. A champion. A hero. A brave warrior. Hence, one who is bold in contest as a champion for the truth. I wonder how many of you here today have ever tried to be a champion. Have you ever tried to be a champion for somebody or something? I wonder how many here today have wanted a champion. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this morning that probably more of us have wanted a champion than we really realize. I would venture that all of us have wanted a champion at some point in our life. And maybe even today, you wish you had a champion. I would like for us to think about this Goliath just a moment. Now, I guess I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of liberty to tell you what my thought is. Thoughts are. We don't know a lot of details about Goliath. We know the weight of his armor, and maybe we could guess the size of that. We know that his height was given to us as 6 cubits and a span. A span being the distance across a man's hand, from the tip of the thumb to the other side of the hand. A cubit being the distance from the tip of the finger to the tip of the elbow. And depending on whose arm you measured, a span is generally considered somewhere between 18 and 21 inches, from the tip of the finger, middle finger, to the tip of the elbow. So if you use 18 inches, that puts Goliath at 9.5 feet tall. If you use 21 inches, that puts him at 11 feet tall. If he was proportioned like me, he puts his weight at somewhere between 370 and 425 pounds. I don't believe that Goliath was this out of proportion, you know, really, really long legs and I don't think he looked strange. If you'd seen him from a long distance, he would have looked like a normal man. And if he hadn't have had some context of being able to judge his sight, you would have looked like he would have looked like a typical man or soldier of that day. But as he got closer, and maybe he come in contact associated with another man, he would have been obviously very large. I believe he was, his appearance was of strength. I believe he was a formidable warrior in his armor. I don't believe that he was short in understanding. I believe he was very savvy. I believe he was skillful. I believe he was very capable. And I believe there was something else about him. I believe he had a willingness to be a champion for his people. All right? I know I'm taking some liberty, but bear with me. I believe he was not only capable physically and capable mentally of being a champion for the Philistines, but he was willing to be their champion. He was, I believe he had proven himself. I don't believe this was the only time or the first time that he had ever been a champion or put out there as a champion. Why? Because he came to this setting, and it says here in the fourth verse, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. Champion is kind of a past tense usage here. It's not someone that, oh, we need a champion here. No, they went into this battle with Goliath. All right? Goliath was already accepted as the champion of the Philistines. All right? So when he came in, they came into this battle, and we have Goliath here, 9.5 to 11 feet tall, somewhere in the 400-pound range, probably. I don't know. That's just a speculation of mine. Already had armor. It wasn't somebody they got out of the insane asylum or something like that. He was a very capable man. That's what I want us to get a hold of here. He had proven himself to be loyal to the cause of the Philistines. He was someone that they trusted. They had confidence in. He had the Philistines' best interest in mind. Would you agree with that? He had something to gain out of this personally. He was the champion. He was their champion. He had never been defeated. Would you believe that? I think that's a pretty fair assumption. Here was Goliath of Gath. So I don't know how old he was. I think he was a reasonably young man to be a soldier, to be in this position. I don't think he was a 50-year-old. But he was probably trained in how to use it. He wasn't just a big blundering idiot, all right? I want us to get this really keen in our mind. I believe Goliath was just a bigger, more adept version of any other warrior. Okay? So he come into this battle. The only problem with Goliath was he wasn't worshiping the right God. Okay? There was no deficiencies in Goliath. He would have been an incredible asset if he'd have been on the Israelite side. Okay? He wouldn't have been a liability. But here, I just want to get this picture of this very formidable, capable champion of the Philistines. And I want us to recognize too that we as individuals more than likely have wanted a champion like Goliath. Not that we wanted to be a Philistine, all right, but we have all probably wanted a champion at some point in our life. And some of us, particularly men, have wanted to be a champion. I want us to realize that I don't think that Goliath was just a surly, unreasonable creature. All right? He had a cause he was fighting for. I know what it's like to be one of the bigger ones in the class growing up. And I never did enjoy or never felt much tolerance for someone that was being bullied, the ones that was doing the bullying. And more than once in my life, I've called out a bully. So you're not going to do that. We don't treat other people like that. And so I just want you to know that I feel like this is my perspective of Goliath, all right? I believe that, not that he was righteous in any stretch of the imagination, but I have this perspective of Goliath of not tolerating a bully. You know why I have that perspective? Is because the Philistines had accepted him as their champion. You don't become the champion of any group of people by being selfish. All right? Goliath, I believe, was someone that was unwilling to tolerate somebody picking on somebody else. I think there'd been many times in his development into where he was the accepted champion of the Philistines that he had said, no, I'll use my physical size to control the situation. You're not going to treat that person like that. Okay? It's why he was universally accepted as the champion. (Sighs) I want us to think about how much trust was put in to Goliath. All right? It said in verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies, multiple here, armies. I have to believe that there were several groups of men that had been trained to do battle, whether they were militia size or infantry size, I don't know, but they were coming together to do battle for a common cause. And amongst all of those, the one that stood out as their champion was Goliath. Have you ever believed in a cause? You don't have to be 9.5 feet tall to really believe in a cause and want to be the champion of a cause. You ever believed in a cause enough that you were willing to give yourself for that? And in your giving of yourself for that, maybe there was a level of acceptance as you being a champion of that cause. You might only have been 5'2". It doesn't matter here. I'm talking about a cause that's important to you. I believe Goliath had given himself for a cause. And not only had he given himself, as I've already said, I believed he had a track record that proved that he was worthy of being accepted as the champion. So I'd like for us to read down a little further. We know the story of how this was, it was intimidating. You know, Saul was one of those that was intimidated by Goliath. You know how tall Saul was? The scripture says that he was head and shoulders taller than everyone else. Now that might not have been 9'6", but Saul was not a small person. He had proved himself in battle, had he not? So Saul would have been the closest rival. How big a man was Saul? I don't know. How big was a typical Israelite back then? I'm not sure. But maybe the typical Israelite wasn't 6 feet tall, but it's very likely that they were over 5 feet tall. So if they were 5.5 feet tall, to be head and shoulders, then I would say Saul was well in excess of 6 feet. Maybe he was close to 7. I don't know. But Saul was a big man. I believe he was proportioned well. He was a king. He was a leader, but he wasn't a champion. Okay? By the time I'm finished, I hope you understand the difference. So Goliath was a champion. And we know the story of how this champion intimidated the Israelite soldiers. He also intimidated Saul, that was the biggest Israelite there was. I'm drawing that conclusion because it said he was head and shoulders taller than everyone else when he was selected as king. And all of them were fearful. And here come David. He was the youngest. It doesn't always happen this way, but he might have been the smallest of all of his brethren. We don't know how big, I don't know, maybe you don't know a little more than I do, but I don't know how big a man David was or how big a man he became, but I don't believe that he was very intimidating in his size. And we know the story of how David had the courage and the confidence that God could utilize him to take down this champion of the Philistines. And we know how that happened. But my message this morning is about a champion. Because I won't hesitate to tell you that I have had a desire to be a champion for my wife, a champion for my family. I've had somewhat of a desire, you might say, to be a champion for the cause of God, for the congregation. I want to be a champion. What a thought. I know what it's like to want to be a champion for a cause, for other people, and realize for various reasons, maybe I can't be. Maybe I'm not capable of it, or maybe I'm not accepted. I know there's heartache. I know there's pain that is involved when you realize you can't be the champion. I've asked that the Lord would give us insight here of what really needs to happen. Because like I said, I think all of us at some point have wanted a champion. You want someone that's bigger than life. Isn't Goliath bigger than life? You want someone that's bigger than life in their spirit, maybe in their physical strength, maybe in their emotional strength, maybe in their spiritual strength. You want someone that's capable, savvy, has expertise. But there's a component I'm getting to here about being a champion that many times we want someone else to be our champion. But there's a component here, there's a factor here that is not healthy. And this is what the Lord has spoken to me about this week. You know, Goliath was taken out by someone that was being used of the Lord, that probably was insignificant in size, in expertise, in reputation, experience, all of those things. But they were just a willing vessel in the hands of the Lord. And David was able to take a slingshot and 5 smooth stones. We don't have any record of him missing, do we? I'm not sure why he took 5, because that, I'm not going there. He just took 5 smooth stones and he took his sling, and we know that when it came time for the contest, he ran towards Goliath, the scripture says, and he threw that stone, and it hit him right in the forehead. And he kind of stunned him and knocked him down, or he fell. And then David went and stood on this champion, took his own sword out, and chopped his head off. And it was because the Lord, David said, "You've defied the God of Israel. It's not me Yes, I might look like a dog to you, but you've defied the God of Israel. And he took out a champion. So there's a clue here I want us to get a hold of in the 51st verse of the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. It says here that therefore David ran. This is after, maybe you'll read a couple verses up above, beginning in verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his head, in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Okay, here's the key. Here is the problem with being a champion. No matter how exhilarating, no matter how rewarding it would be to be recognized as the champion, there is something about depending on a champion that's not healthy. All right? Because here's what happened. When the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, what did they do? They fled. All right? So no matter how much you might say, well, I've got a champion in brother so-and-so. And we'll tell you, in the fear of the Lord, that's not healthy. It's not healthy. It's not something that you really want. Oh, it might be what you want, but it's not really what you want for your best experience in life. Goliath was a champion. And he was capable of being a champion. And he had everything that it took to make it be a champion. And the people accepted him as the champion. They trusted him. Why did all the armies go to battle anyway? You know what they were there for? They were there to clean up the spoil. They had this all figured out. The champion is going to go out there, make this contest. The other poor sap is going to lose, and they're all going to be our slaves, and we're going to take them off to be our slaves. We're going to inflict the consequence of the deal that we're going to make, and we don't have to do anything. That's the problem with having a champion. If you got a champion, that means you don't have to do anything. And guess where you're going to go if you don't do something about your soul? Four-letter word. It's called hell. If you don't get a hold of God for yourself, and you're trusting in a champion to pray you through your troubles, to give you the wisdom and the answers from the Lord that you need, you're going to end up on the short end of the stick when it comes to eternal reward. We don't need a champion in this earth. We can use some leadership from time to time, but we don't need a champion. We need to be prepared ourselves. You know what the Israelites did? When the enemy started running, they chased them. And if you read the scripture, they were scattered from that site all the way home. Was injured and dead Philistines all across the whole path. You know what happens when a tornado comes in? It scatters stuff for miles. There was dead Philistines laying along the side of the way they went from the side of this battle all the way back to their homeland. That's the way it's going to be. If we're prepared, we're going to be able to be victorious, and the victories are going to be all along the path of life. But we have to be prepared. If you are trusting today, maybe, I hope, no one here has this spiritual champion raised up in your mind, and that's who I look to. They're my champion. They're the ones that when I'm in trouble, I make a phone call. They're the ones when I'm in trouble, I read one of his books, or I read a chapter of this, or I listen. Or no, I'm going to tell you, folks, we've got to have it ourselves. It's not going to work if we don't have it ourselves. We can't trust in a champion. No matter how fulfilling it may seem to be a champion, I'd rather that everyone here would be prepared to fight yourself. If you trusted in me to be a champion for you, I know, because I'm human, I'm going to let you down. I know there's going to be a contest that I'm not going to be able to hand you the victory in. I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess that the Philistines outnumbered the Israelites that day. It just seems like that's the way it was. Every time the Israelites came to do battle with someone, there was always more of the enemy. So I'd have to think that that day there was more Philistines than there was Israelites. But they lost. Why did they lose? They had all of their hopes in a champion. He's going to go out there and fight this battle. There's nobody going to stand before him. I mean, look at this guy. He's almost 10 feet tall and 400 pounds and looks like Atlas. Or whatever. There's nobody going to be able to even have a chance. There is no way. Why are we even taking swords to this? We just need to take wheelbars to take all the loot home. You see? They were not prepared to do battle. They weren't prepared mentally. They weren't prepared physically. What were they doing when Goliath was down there saying, "Send me a man and fight with me"? What were they doing? They may have been eating and drinking, sleeping in. I don't know. But they weren't prepared. That's the point. They weren't engaged. What if they'd have been engaged? And when they seen their man fall, what if they'd have rushed in at that time? I'm glad it didn't turn out different. But what about us? What about it? When someone that is, you know, Goliath was just human. That's all he was. He didn't even have the Lord with him. But you know, what's going to happen when we, as individuals here, in this setting, in this place, if we don't have the goods on hand for ourselves, if our leadership is not able to continue, what are we going to do? Let the devil conquer us all and us be strewn, injured and dead between here and home? There's something better than having a champion, folks. You know, I believe a strong, capable, courageous leader, not a champion, is a good thing. It's a very good thing. But an army that's prepared is better. And an army that's prepared with a strong, capable leader is best. I'm not willing, I don't know how exhilarating it is to you, but I'm not willing today to be recognized as a champion. I don't want that. I'm willing to do what I can to help a cause. But folks, listen, we got to have something better than a champion in our lives. We got to have an experience for ourselves. There is no lifelong victory. There is no lifelong success as a Christian by just hovering under the shadow of a champion. Look at what happened to Goliath. There may be someone in your mind today that appears to be 9 foot tall and bulletproof. There may be someone that looks like they have all the answers and all the solutions to all of the dilemmas in life. Maybe they are an expert in marriage and child training and conquering temptation and everything. You name it. They seem like they got all of the answers. And they got the Bible to back them up. They just know all the scriptures. And they got good, sound reasoning and all of that stuff. They're my champion. I'm going to tell you that you're building on something that's shaky. There's something better than that. You've got to have it for yourself. We've got to have an experience. I know my Redeemer. I know that I'm adopted. I know that my experience with the Lord is good. It's on good, solid ground. We've got to have that, folks. Otherwise, we're going to have a Goliath on our hands. We're just going to have a champion. And when it comes down to, maybe they don't fail the grace of God. Maybe they just pass away. You know? If someone just passes away from natural causes, it can leave an empty, and if they've been an empty void in people's lives, and if they've been someone's champion, then what happens? Do they run away? I've seen that happen in my own life. I've looked on. I remember a setting where someone seemed to be spiritual. All right, this is many years ago, different place. Many years ago, I looked on and this person seemed to be spiritual. They were engaged in worship service and trying to be a help and an encouragement to others and all of this. And their champion passed away. I don't know how else to explain it. Their champion passed away and everything they had, it was lost. They run away. It was sad. Today, they're been a long time ago, but today their life is a wreck. They've done many things that their champion would be appalled at. But their experience was not real. It was just, they were just under the umbrella of the champion. You know, when our children are raised up in our homes, they're under our umbrella. They can get insurance sometimes for their car because they're under mom and dad's umbrella. They can get other benefits. Maybe they can go to the bank and borrow money to buy that first car because mom and dad co-signed. They're under this little umbrella. You see? But we got to have an experience. You can't have just a champion spiritually. You got to have a relationship for yourself with the Lord. Because something can happen. Maybe that champion, I hope no one's champion fails and goes back into sin. I hope the only way they ever depart this life is because they pass away, physically pass away. But if you're a champion, I don't know, maybe you don't have it. I hope you don't have a champion tonight, today. But if you got a champion, oh, if brother or sister so-and-so, you know, the sun rises and sets in them. But I'm going to tell you, if you got a spiritual champion today and the Lord took them, where would you be? What would happen to you? I'm telling you this, I feel like the Lord gave me something to share with you today. I want you to have more than just a spiritual champion. I want you to know I've got it right with me and the Lord. I want you to be shaky on that. I want you to know this is not just a Goliath. I know the Lord. You know why David could go out and face that giant? He'd been alone with the Lord. He'd been out there tending to his father's sheep. And there'd been conflict out there, and the Lord had helped who? Him, individually. And he depended on that. You're going to have to depend on that. Lord, help us all to not just look for a champion, but to look for a real experience with the Lord. You pray for me.